The work week is here. Let's begin with your Monday market preview with Jeff Sherman and Dave Spano.
Working for it all, but it's money, money. It's money, money. It's money, money.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined on the phone by the CEO at Annex Wealth Management, Dave Spano. Dave, as always, thanks for taking time on this Monday, especially on this President's Day. I appreciate it.
Yeah, market's closed, but glad to be here.
All right. Have you ever had a chance to meet and sit down and talk with a sitting president?
Well, I got a couple of cool stories. I'll tell you a real quick funny story. Is I was on a volunteer basis the president of the Italian Community Center.
Okay.
When Bill Clinton was here and he was stomping for Hillary.
Okay.
And so they were clearing the building and he wasn't president at that point. And around the corner I could hear him, and the Secret Service said, "Sir, you're going to have to leave the room. You know, we're clearing the room." And I said I'd like to meet him. And I came around the corner, and Bill Clinton is there, and he went right into his Southern charm. I mean, you know, it was unbelievable. He went right into, you know, what happened, what's happening in the building, where he went to eat. He went to Miss Katie's Diner. He had the meatloaf. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was really fantastic. And so they took a picture of it, and of course, everyone made a political statement out of it because I took a picture with Bill Clinton, but yeah. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I had a – my small story is – when we started on Milwaukee.com, it was a couple years into it.
Oh, you
we
George
had George Bush.
Boy,
in our office.
I remember that.
And I had a really good friend.
You drove around with him, didn't you?
We drove in the presidential limo from the east side of Milwaukee to the art museum. And I'm thankful. I had a good friend that ran his campaign in 2004. And he wanted to come to Wisconsin to talk about Social Security reform and meet with some young entrepreneurs. And at the end of the event, he said to my business partner and I, "Get in the limo, we're driving to the art museum." So it was just my business partner and I and George Bush. Yeah. And it was just incredible. Just we talked about running, we talked about family, we talked about faith. I mean, it was great to have, like, wow.
Was that Bobby Tanzillo? Who was with you?
My partner was Andy Tarnoff.
Oh yeah, Tarnoff.
But Bobby Tanzillo was, I think, in the press corps right behind us. So it's just an amazing day.
Great
to
story.
Have that up
close and
personal.
You could have been on the Beast yesterday going around the racetrack.
I know. Yeah, that was pretty impressive. I like that. All right. So I wanted to do kind of four S's for our segments here. This thought crossed my mind, Dave, that the new administration is finding savings and a little bit of fraud. Shouldn't some of the money that is found be coming back to the American people? I mean, should we explore a stimulus to give the people back our money to invest? What are the pros and cons?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, that's a great question. That's those people who advocate for lower taxes. That's the thesis, you know, to give the money back to the people who earned it. I think part of this is just not trying to find the money, but trying to find inefficiencies, the waste, right? And so part of that inefficiency could be just updating these really old systems that they have. And mm-hmm. so update the outdated systems, finding waste, of course, that's part of it. And of course, you know, implementing efficiency policies. And so there may not be capital that comes back, but if they can find efficiency, you know, he's got all of these Doge kids, you know, he's recruited these some 40 young people from right. all over the to go and find these inefficiencies. So it could be technology, it could be just operating smarter, it could be, you know, better proposals. But if there is some money that comes back, there's also this opinion that, you know, we're still spending these COVID level spending. 7% of GDP is incredible that we're running these deficits right now. These deficits do not have to be that big, and they're much, much larger than they've ever done before. And so everyone talks about all of this debt. Well, debt is an accumulation of the deficits, right? So if we could get the deficit spending back to a more normal level, and speaking of Bill Clinton, that happened mm-hmm. in 1999, 2000, at least it balanced out. And so if we could get to at least a balanced number and stop running up these ridiculous deficits, maybe the debt can come into in a better light. And so that's why I think that maybe there's not money coming back, but mm-hmm. maybe an opportunity to balance the budget with the revenue. And as I said to you before, generally, this, we don't have a revenue problem. We have, as a percentage of GDP, a ton of revenue coming in. In fact, you know, at one point we hit 20%, which is a huge number, running about 16 to 17% now. So it's not a revenue problem. It's certainly a spending problem.
Yeah. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about separation. I mean, you made a great point there, Dave. I think both sides of the political coin want to look at a more balanced budget and more efficiency. But do we need more transparency between Elon Musk and his team and the White House? When we come back, more with Dave Spano, CEO at Annex Wealth Management. I'm Jeff Sherman. You're listening to The Upswing. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined on the phone by Dave Spano, CEO at Annex Wealth Management. Dave, as you look at separation, our second S for our topics today, separation between Elon Musk and the White House and transparency there, what do you think we need as citizens and investors as they kind of explore, you know, audits and data mining and discovery at the various departments? Do we need more transparency in this process?
Yeah, I think transparency, you know, that builds trust, right? And no matter what it is in relationship and business. And so transparency does, it's a good thing to put that out there, especially because, you know, there's so much that Elon is taking a look at. And, you know, they had a press conference and, you know, the whole thing was not about what Elon was saying, but Little X was the star of the show, right? In the Oval Office with him. So there's no question that transparency should be there, especially if you have a conflict of interest. And, you know, you think about Elon and, you know, the government contracts that he has either directly or indirectly, you know, that should be out there. But, you know, the good news is his just stream of conscious tweeting is pretty obvious what he's thinking. And if there would be a conflict, you know, the whole world on X would see it.
Yeah, that's a good point. So the next one is stop the minting. Does it raise the prices? You and I haven't talked about Trump's plan to stop minting pennies. And I wonder, could it raise prices? I mean, what does a penniless world look like? And does it matter when so many of our transactions are digital?
Yeah, you know, it's a good point. Do you know what it costs to make a penny? It's 3.7 cents to make a penny. And so you go, well, that doesn't sound too smart, right? So that's $85 million a year. And so here's a really easy answer. You know, people think about things in binary terms. You know, it's on or it's off. How about we just stop making pennies? That doesn't mean the penny goes away.
Right.
Right? That doesn't mean that we have to, you know, round everything up to a nickel. But just stop making pennies, and then over time, maybe there's an adjustment to take a look at. So, you know, if we can pick up $85 million a year, just stop the printing presses.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, if per se, and that would pick up this money. So, but you know, it takes money, obviously, to make it. In fact, most people don't know it takes 14 cents to make a nickel, right? So, so you take a look at what point. So, I think the penny could maybe have used, you know, gone through its useful life. And, you know, why does it go up? I mean, there's a rounding, but what does it really, you know, I saw in an interview that they said, well, if it went from 98 cents a dollar, that some people would have struggles with that. I had a little trouble adjusting to that one, right? So there could be an uptick in that, number one. And number two, you know, you have to pay taxes on the higher amount as well. So there could be a lot of things that go up, but maybe just stop printing them and pick up that $85 million a year.
Yeah, and the pennies will still be in circulation if you stop minting them. It's going to be a while before truly they're out of circulation as a whole.
Well, I'm sure you got a big glass jar in your house full.
Without
of pennies.
Without a doubt, yeah. Every now and then you look at, you know, you find the, you know, the one that could be worth a little something and take it to the coin guy and you're like, hey, what will you pay me for this? And that's the fun part. Nickel. They still have the collectability of it. So we're going to talk small business in the second half of the show. And I want to get your take, Dave, on if I'm looking to start a small business, what is the best incorporation route to go? There's various different ways for entrepreneurs, but how do you look at that from the get-go?
Yeah, so you look at, there's really basically four major ways to do it. It's a sole proprietor. You just open up the doors and call it Sherman Company. There's the limited liability company, which is probably the overwhelming way that we see businesses get formed, and it gives you a lot of flexibility, and it's also passed through in taxes, so you won't get double taxation. And so when we see a lot of LLCs, some people think that there's a tax benefit to it. It's just that it's passed through, like an S-Corp. There's a pass-through for it, and how that's different from an S-Corp to a C-Corp, and I hope everyone's following me here, whatever you make, it gets reported as income on your tax return. If you own a C-Corporation, which means it's generally suitable for larger companies, but that's double taxation. So, you know, everyone's freaking out about the lowering of the corporate tax rates because it's not a person. It's an entity. So if you, for every dollar you make, the corporation pays taxes. Today it's 21%. And then from that point, whatever's left of that, in this case 79 cents, that gets distributed to the shareholders. And then they have to take that as either a dividend or income. Depends on how they distribute it. So there's two levels of taxes, and that's the reason why you do a C Corp for larger corporations. There's ways that make distributions and not make distributions. There's ways that, you know, you have different share classes. There's a lot of ways to do that with a C Corp. But it should generally have a lot of shareholders to do that. Mm-hmm. But the lion's share, Jeff, as we see pass-throughs are LLCs. And there's a limited liability company that has a pass-through taxation. By the way, I know you got to go, but I think the S word for the day might be serendipity as well.
Oh, I like it. I like it. It's all about serendipity. Dave Spano, I'm Jeff Sherman. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ.